It's God's music. Yeah. It's not a Broadway spectacle. Yeah. It's not a county fair. It's God's music. And if you do good music, do the best you can do, the people will support you.
And support is what this man has found. He's a favorite personality in gospel music. Today, we'll talk to Jim Hamill about his 50-plus years in gospel music and his long career with the Kingsman Quartet on today's edition of Daniel Britt and Friends.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversation featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here's Daniel Britt.
The term legendary is so overused, it seems, but you got to really use that label or that title when you talk about Big Jim Hamill. Buddy, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Of course, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere.
That's right.
But I'm glad to be here.
You're best known with the Kingsmen and the time that you spent there. Is that the only group you perform with?
Oh, no, no. I started out years ago with a quartet out in Iowa. Made $50 a week, did two live radio shows,
yeah,
and cost me 30 a week to stay in the hotel. But boy, I was really singing.
Yeah.
And then I went with the Weatherfords and then the Blue Ridge,
yeah,
and then the Oak Ridge,
yeah,
and then with the Kingsmen in 1971.
Weatherfords and Blue Ridge, George Hunt sang with them, right?
Yes. I had two doses of George.
Was that enough?
No. He was a great singer and a great guy. Had a lot of fun.
Now, anybody who knows anything about Jim Hamill knows that he's a storyteller. And in fact, there's a compilation of some of his greatest stories chronicling his career through gospel music's great groups that he was a part of. And let's listen to one now.
I tell you one thing, I was more thrilled with them than they were me. I used to get fired every day just like taking vitamins, like one a day vitamins. We were traveling down the interstate going from Akron, Ohio, to Chicago, I mean, and just flying. And I wasn't all that old. I was 21 or 2, or should have known better, but you know me. And I had a fake, one of them big fake red firecrackers. But all it was just a fuse. And when the fuse had burned out, it'd just go, psht, and that was it. I lit that baby. They didn't know it. I lit that baby and threw it over the back, over the front seat into the back in that limousine. They're going down the interstate. Danny Coker's driving. George is in the front seat with me. Lily Fern and Earl's in the back there, trying to get out of the car, and it doing by 50 by then. They were screaming so loud. And before Lily Fern was yelling, he's crazy, he's crazy. And Earl said, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. And they didn't take too kindly to that. Well, now that got the desired effect, the desired reaction. In my perverted mind at that time.
What, getting fired?
No, just pulling a joke.
Oh.
But the next one, this next thing that happened, that I got blamed for it, and really it wasn't intended. It didn't happen the way I intended it to. Lily Fern Weatherford, I think one of the greatest female voices we've ever had in our industry. She's a great lady, great singer, scared to death of spiders, any kind of spider. Little bitty spider, great big spider, and just scared to death. Just sets her off screaming and running. Well, we're singing at the First Nazarene Church in Charleston, West Virginia, and I'm sitting on the front row. There's a vacant seat, and right next to that vacant seat is Earl sitting down. There's nobody sitting in that seat. I take a little rubber spider, put it in the songbook, and lay it down there, just figuring that some kid or somebody will come along and see it in an hour or so and just get a laugh and a scare and everything will be all right. Wrong. We're all standing. They're getting ready to have a congregational song. Lily Fern walks in and pats Earl on the hand and everything's just wonderful, and she picks up that songbook that I didn't intend for her to pick up to start with. The music director stands up and calls out a song for them to sing, page 142, When We All Get to Heaven. Oh, the piano and organ took off, and we took off, Sing the Wondrous. And about that time, Lily Fern opened that song, saw that spider. She started screaming and running around in circles, and Earl turned to me and said, You're fired. course, that was probably the third time that week, but they were great people. I loved them, and I enjoyed singing with them.
Jim Hamill on Daniel Britt and Friends. Now, let's go back to our interview.
When did you join the Kingsmen?
1971.
71. And how? When did that group start on the road?
Well, when I first came with them, Eldridge Fox,
yeah,
the owner and boss, had two piano stores, one in Asheville, North Carolina,
yeah,
and one in a little town called Hendersonville, yeah, where I moved to,
uh-huh,
and I took care of the piano store. We'd been traveling so much, and I wanted to get away from traveling, so
yeah,
Foxy said, well, come manage one of my stores, and we'll sing just on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, fine. Well, that didn't last. First thing you know, we were singing on Saturday and Sunday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then uh-huh, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're just terrible, just singing over and over and over. So we closed the piano stores and just took off singing. And God really blessed us. We had a great time and great career with the Kingsmen.
And how long did you stay on the road pretty much full-time with them?
With the Kingsmen?
Yeah.
From 1971 to, 96, yeah. 71 to 96.
Yeah. And you were pretty much the out front man. You did most,
yes,
of the talking.
I was the MC. I picked all the songs, mm-hmm, arranged the songs, and took care of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Eldridge was the boss,
mm-hmm,
and he took care of the business, and we never mixed. We never had any problem. But I never knew what pay scale we were on or anything.
Right.
And he took care of me. And on the other hand, he didn't tell me who to feature or what songs to sing. And we had a great relationship until he passed away.
Producing a show, producing a night of music, what goes into that? Do you sit down and with a pen and paper, do you scratch it all out, or is all in your head?
No. If we had a program, none of us could have read it. The thing that I always did, I always had to call my quiet time, and anybody that knows me won't hardly believe that, but I would ask the Lord, now, do they want me to be funny tonight? Do they want the Kingsmen just to be funny and act or sing nothing but fast songs or slow songs? And I do my best to let the Lord lead.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let him lead and got us out of the way, it was always successful. And so, no, there was never a plan, never. Of course, we knew what two or three songs we'd open with.
Sure.
And mostly the best song we had we'd close with.
Mm-hmm.
But anything in the middle, was just what we felt like singing.
Praise God, it made news in heaven when I got saved.
Now it didn't make the papers in this world when I prayed through. It didn't seem to matter to all but just a few. But on the golden streets of glory, the celebration banners wave. And it made news in heaven when I got saved. Angels were rejoicing, hallelujahs rang, when Jesus touched my life and I was changed. Everyone in glory's realm knew my name was written down. It made news in heaven when I got saved. Not long ago a beggar, now a child of the King. Now this old world just shrugged its shoulders. It didn't mean a thing. Oh, but it was God's approval that my spirit really craved. And it made news in heaven when I got saved. The angels were rejoicing, hallelujahs rang, when Jesus touched my life and I was changed. And everyone in glory's realm, they knew my name was written down. Yeah.
And you had some great songs.
Yeah.
You have to admit that, yeah. What are some of your favorites that...
I like Stand Up, Old Ship of Zion, Apple Tree Song, Excuses. Just go on and on and on.
And Excuses, you came back and did a new version, didn't you?
Yeah. We did that on Alabama Live. More Excuses.
Yeah.
And that was good. But it never did achieve the magnitude that Excuses, the first one, did.
Sure. Where do you find your stories? And you've got a bunch of them. And do you find that by laughing, you've been able to stay young?
I'm not that young. But anyway, the stories are the hardest thing. And if you, whether you've emceed or not, I don't know. But the comedy part, the funny stuff, they remember from, like, you work a town like twice a year.
Yeah.
And you start doing the same jokes. That'll get on. You can do the same songs.
Yeah.
You know, in the same spot. But you start hitting them with the same old jokes about the tenor and singing, looking like a man and singing like a woman and all that kind of stuff. They pick up on that in a hurry. But, to stay fresh, you try to, your approach with the comedy and the feel good and try to do that.
What got you into music in the first place? Did you grow up around it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My mother was choir director at the church. Her dad was a preacher. Mm-hmm. And she directed the choir. And the first organ they bought, they delivered it Saturday afternoon. And she took the book Saturday. And Saturday night and Sunday, she played the big Hammond organ for service. Yeah. And she was a great musician and learned from her reading, sight reading, and vocals.
Mm-hmm. Have the Kingsmen always been based out of North Carolina?
Oh, yes. Asheville, yes.
Asheville. And where were you born and raised?
I was born in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. That's up in the mountains. And then lived most of my adult life in Memphis, where my dad pastored a big church there. And most of it, and I've lived in North Carolina since 71. Mm-hmm. I love those mountains, boy.
Oh, yeah. Hard to leave it.
Yes.
Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
In the summer it's too hot, in the winter it's too cold. In the springtime when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or over to the beach or to visit some old friend or just to stay home and relax and hope some of the kin folks will drop in. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night, but by work time Monday morning, oh, you're feeling quite all right. Well, one of the children has a cold, pneumonia do you suppose? While the whole family had to stay home
just to blow that poor kid's nose.
Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Well, the preacher, he's too young, maybe he's too old. Those sermons, they're not hard enough, sometimes they get too bold. His voice is much too quiet, like sometimes it gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. Well, the sermons are too long, maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word now instead of stomp and snort. Well, that preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, one of the ladies told me Sunday,
why, he didn't even shake my hand.
Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Tell me about some of the, obviously we have mourned the loss of Anthony Berger. He came through the Kingsmen. Tell me about him and his time with the Kingsmen. And that was his first professional group, right?
Yeah, first professional group. Now, we heard him for a couple of, oh, I guess a couple of years, from a group called the Gospel Heirs and one called the Celestials, local boys from over around Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And Foxy made the mistake of telling him, now, if we need a piano player, we're going to call you. And about 2 months later, his mother called. He was 15 at the time. His mother called and said, look, said, we own two piano stores, and he's fixed for life. And he don't need to finish high school. Said, never had a mother say that before. He's driving us crazy. And as soon as you can use him, we want you to hire him. Yeah. And so Fox did, with the understanding that he would complete a correspondence course and complete his education.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, and you know, it's easy after somebody's gone to talk real good about him and all, but I can honestly say that he was the best, not only the best person, but the best musician, best piano player I've ever seen.
Was he as good when you first hired him as he was when you left?
He got better. He got better every day.
Yeah.
And it just seemed, it came so easy. You know, I mean, the rest of the boys, a bass player and a guitar player, they'd take those instruments home and practice and practice. Not him, son. It just, he one time, one of the tallies, that tally boy was getting married.
Yeah.
And so we were on a cruise to Nassau. I don't know why, but they didn't want to spend their honeymoon with all those people. So they went off and asked Anthony to play the piano. And well, he didn't miss a note. He didn't not miss a lick.
Wow.
No rehearsal.
Wow.
Set right. And he might have missed a tempo or two. You know, that's hard to do. But he just like falling off a log. No problem.
With the trio, he went back and recorded Glory Road. Of course, he sang the baritone part. He was not with the Kingsmen when that original version of Glory Road came out.
Oh, yes, he was.
Was he?
Yeah. He was. No, I'm sorry. He was not.
No,
he came about maybe 6 or 8 months, maybe a year after we started it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a great song. And Squire was with us when we did that. And he's a tremendous talent.
Ah!
One thing I liked about, if I get to rambling, you can just stop me, was Squire. I picked the songs. And when Squire was with us, I'd say, Squire said, I need a little sing-along song, just like the Statesman. Okay. And he brought, I'll have a new song over in glory. Yeah, you know, one of those. Yeah. Then I said, I need a real heavy song. Yeah. He's still living.
Yeah.
And boy, it's great picking songs, and you just order up what you want.
Yeah.
Like down at Burger King.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. And Squire was a great songwriter. When Squire wrote Beulah Land, was that before or after Kingsman?
I think it was before.
Before.
Yeah. And then when he came with us, we started singing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Give me some names of some others who came through the group.
Let's see. There's Squire and Johnny Parrick.
Yeah.
Jay's daddy.
Yeah.
Johnny Parrick. And Wayne Maynard. I guess you know him.
He's
a baritone.
Yeah.
You know
Child,
Wayne.
Child.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great singer. Yeah, Child,
yeah.
Child. You've done your homework,
yeah.
Kid.
Yeah.
Very good. And let's see. Oh, Gary Shepherd, Ernie Phelps. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, there's been so many of them. I can't recall them. But Shepherd and was a great singer. And Ernie was, the people just loved him because he was so little.
And Ernie's son now with Mark Trammell's crew?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Eric. He's
Eric.
Doing a good job. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
This is Daniel Britton, friends. And my guest today is Jim Hamill, a legend in this business. In fact, he's been singing gospel music for over 50 years, for many years of that time, with the Kingsman Quartet as their main MC and stage producer. Let's go back and hear more of these delightful stories of his life singing gospel music.
Ernie Phillips would try anything. I could drop him off of a 20-foot stage and he would not grunt. He would try anything. He wasn't afraid of anything. 5'2", weighed about 102 pounds, and just shoot a basketball like a professional basketball player, and we used to have so much fun. And Ernie was just something special. We were singing one night with the Hopper Brothers. That's when they were the Hopper Brothers, before they arrived and just went to the Hoppers, like a monogram or something on your shirt. But they were singing, the Hopper Brothers and Connie, and in a high school gym. And Ernie, they were singing one of their big hot songs. I don't remember what it was at that time. And Ernie got on one side of that gym on a rope and just swung all the way across right in front of them. Connie went, wah! And old Ernie, he'd swing right there, and he'd hit the high note with her and sit down. Wasn't a thing he wouldn't do. He wasn't afraid of anything. And for him, he was small in stature but great heart. And Ernie Phillips always sticks out really good for me. And Shepherd had a fella out there that just loved him to death. I mean, he just always come to hear Shep sing, and he's always asking about him and wanting to see him. And Shepherd was inside setting up the records, and this little fella came to me. He didn't have any legs. He was born with that leg. And the way he got around was on a skateboard, so you know, with four wheels. So he came up to me and said, Jim, said, where's Shepherd? I said, well, he's inside setting up. He said, well, I've been thinking about it. I want to do something. I thought he was going to do something, you know, for him,
right.
Take him to dinner. He said, well, what I want to do, I want you to put me under the bus in one of those baggage bins. And I tell you one thing now, Shep was, I mean, he was jumpy. I mean, he'd jump out of his skin. And I said, are you sure you want to do this? This will scare him to death. He said, I've been thinking about it all week, and I want to do it. So I said, okay, it's just getting dark. And we put him in there and made sure he was all right. And I went up there where Shep was setting up records. I said, Shep, said, I need a certain number. I can't remember now. I said, I need a number for the records. Go down to the bus and get it for me. And like number 466, I need it to announce from the stage. Okay, Jim. And, of course, Shepherd, one thing, he'd do anything you ask him. Boy, he run out to that bus. It was just getting dark. He opened that bin, and when that little old fella jumped out at him, I thought Shep was going to have an absolute heart attack. I mean, he screamed louder than Lily Fern when she saw that spider. Another one. It got him and Anthony. They were back of the bus, and they were doing bookwork, counting the receipts and having some sales and everything. And there was a little table there. And right up above the table was an air vent. And Greg Fox, Eldridge's son, took his shoes off, stepped on the mirror outside, up on top of that bus, crawled all the way to the very back where that little 6-inch vent was located,
dropped a plastic snake through there down on that table where Anthony and the screaming tenor was doing money. I want you to know I heard him screaming. I turned around, and Anthony was just running around in circles. I mean, he was screaming and hollering. Shep had one foot on the floor, the other one trying to kick that snake up on that table, and I never saw anything so funny in my life.
Jim Hamill. Now let's go back to our interview here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
You recorded some solo projects, I guess, after you left the Kingsmen, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have six.
Six. How has that been? You've been with a quartet for all those years, and then you go out and trying to do something on your own.
Uncomfortable. Very. With tracks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I told you, doing a program, I really don't do a very good job as a soloist because my hands are tied, you know, that I can't do a spiel and a talk and do the same thing every night, hit the same button every night. Yeah. I just can't do it. A lot of people can, and they're very successful, but I just can't do it. And I do all right, but I'll never be comfortable without a quartet or trio or something singing with them.
Yeah. Kingsmen were always real big in gospel music. And I remember like the King's Gold days.
Yeah.
And, you always had good crowds. I mean,
Yeah. It's like anything else. You know, have small crowds somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't promoted right or wrong time of the year or something. But King's Gold's always great and fun to work with. Ivan, when we first started, Ivan and Brian Free and those guys and the Kingsmen and we got along good and had a great time singing.
And that's kind of a pre homecoming type thing, you know, where you just get a bunch of singers around and start doing.
Yeah, we never rehearsed King's Gold.
Yeah,
never rehearsed. I'd point to them, they'd sing, and used to drive piano players crazy trying to find the right key, but never rehearsed. Not the first time. Of course, it might have sounded that way, but the people liked it, and that's all that matters.
I know early on the Kingsmen were on the Gaither videos when they were still together as the very classic Kingsmen group. This is very hypothetical. If Bill Gaither and the homecoming phenomenon would have taken place maybe in the 70s or early 80s, along about that time, and given Southern Gospel that platform on television like it has, do you think it would have been as successful in the 70s and 80s as it has been in the 90s and in the 2000s?
I don't know. In the first place, you didn't have the cable.
Yeah.
You didn't have cable TV like you've got now with all the outlets and everything that where you can reach like TNT and all the local little gospel TV stations all over the country. You didn't have that in the 70s. Now, I think the appeal would have still been there, but there's no way he could have got the word out like he has now.
Day we live in brings a search for easy answers. They tell us to invest in worldly things. Oh, but nothing good comes easy if it's worth having at all. So I decided to lay up treasures for my king. I'm laying up treasures. Nothing wrong with living for today. But if you're gonna be a winner, set your mind on things above. And don't be afraid to stand with me and say, I'm laying up treasure.
I'm laying up treasure.
Setting my heart on things above. Yes, I'm living on his love and moving on. Treasures in my eternal home. I'm laying up.
I'm laying up treasures in my eternal home. I'm laying up treasures in my eternal home.
My guest today is Jim Hamill, and if you'd like to hear today's interview again, you can. Just log on to danielbritt.com. That's danielbritt.com. Now let's go back to today's interview.
What do you think? Have you heard all about the talk in the industry about the American gospel music and the Christian music presenters and getting certified and this, that, and the other to broaden the base of like Carnegie Hall and bigger music halls for Southern gospel? And as Ed O'Neill told me, basically what he's heard is that it's a way to sort of sell gospel music, Southern gospel music, as an art form, just like jazz.
Well, one thing that they never take into consideration when they start all this stuff, that it's God's music. Yeah. It's not a Broadway spectacle. Yeah. It's not a county fair. It's not anything like that. It's God's music. And if you do good music, do the best you can do, the people will support you, and you don't have to go through all of that certification. And who's going to certify how somebody lives, whether they live for Jesus or not?
Right.
That's a bunch of malarkey, if you'll excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kingsmen, they would do some showy stuff, but it was always about the message, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord help. We were singing one night in Chattanooga and singing, I don't know, some old song, What a Day That'll Be or something. And a little girl, we're singing Glory Road.
Yeah.
And a little girl came up to the edge of the stage, and I thought she was going to request a song. So I motioned for whoever's playing bass to sing my part. And I said, honey, can I help you? She said, I want what the Kingsmen are singing about. Huh. I stopped that thing down. Jerry Goff and I, James Blackwood, gave an altar call. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came down. That's certification, I think, right there.
Yeah, yeah. And as a producer, you kind of have to throw it all out whenever you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's very important, isn't it?
Yes, sirree. Yeah. Even recording. In our recordings, there's a lot of things that could have done musically better.
Yeah.
But when your bass singer's going and saying his words, then you know something's happening.
Yeah.
You put that on the tape.
First live album, Gadsden, Alabama, early 70s. And boy, you don't know the pressure we were under to produce a good first album for a major label. Oh, boy. I arranged those songs, and Squire came in and arranged Glory Road and looked for me at Jesus' feet because he wrote them, and Conard Cook was there, and the other author, and boy, everything, all of working together and arranging and everything just perfect. The songs timed, everything going. What we didn't count on was Love Lifted Me and Sonny shouting, just shouting while we were singing. And the reason that it made it so true and surreal was the fact that he was saved, Sonny was saved, in prison in Columbia, South Carolina, when the prison choir was singing Love Lifted Me. He met his wife in the infirmary when somebody liked to beat him to death and knived him, and she saved his life. And that prison choir was singing Love Lifted Me, and he stepped forward and gave his heart and life to Jesus. And we started singing it that night in Gadsden, Alabama, and Sonny started shouting. I'll tell you one thing, we didn't care about the record company then. We didn't care about the pretty arrangements then. All we cared about was God on the scene, and everything we could do to help it out, we were doing. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
Jim Hamill, now let's continue our discussion.
Tell me about Eldridge Fox and his final days. We know he was in the wheelchair.
He was my best buddy.
Yeah.
And, Lord, we had so much fun together and so many good times, played golf. And his final days were, I couldn't hardly bear, you know, to go over there. He was a wonderful man. He gave away almost everything he had.
Was he in good spirits?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a good sense of humor? You didn't get
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sir. You had to ride that bus with us. You better. You'd be a miserable little old boy. I can tell you that.
Do you ever bring your families on the road?
No, yeah. When I was with the Oak Ridge before I had any children, mm-hmm. and a lot of groups don't like for the wives to go on the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, they can go if they go in a car with their husband and all. But right. the Oak Ridge didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
And she'd go with me, and she'd iron shirts and wash shirts yeah. for yeah. Smitty and the guys. But when we had the children, I have mm-hmm. a daughter 37 and a son 35. And when they came along, she quit traveling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now that you brought it up, I'd like the folks to remember in prayer. She had a stroke in January, mm-hmm. and she's really been down, but she's doing gradually a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Talking today to Jim Hamill of Kingsman Quartet fame, legend in his own right through his 50-plus years in gospel music. And if you'd like to hear today's interview again, go online to danielbritt.com and download it. It's an MP3 download for you, and you can even subscribe to the podcast to catch every week's interview automatically. danielbritt.com. Now here's a great song from the Kingsmen. I'm Daniel Britt and Friends.
Soon I'll come to the end of my journey.
Still traveling and singing?
Yeah, yeah. I go two or three times a month. I'll go out, and I love to go. Love yeah. the people,
yeah.
and can't sing like I used to, but I do good enough to get by.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love going to see the people.
Sure, sure. Do you have a website or anything where we can get in touch with you?
Just my email is jimhamill2004@yahoo.com.
All right.
And I'd love to hear from you, and I got to get one of these radios in my car.
There you go. Yeah, you can hear it all over, coast to coast.
Oh, I know. I told the guys that day I had to take my 8-track out to make room for my cell phone. That's how far behind I am. But, yeah, I've been hearing good reports on this.
The Lord told Joshua what to go to Jericho and to march 7 times around. He followed faithfully the blessed Lord's command, and the walls came tumbling down.
Yes, the walls,
yes, the walls came tumbling down.
Joshua,
Joshua, march 7 times around.
I was told, so you can't get mad at me, okay? I was told to ask you about Davy Crockett. I have no idea where this is going to go.
Some guy told me that a guy, we were singing somewhere down in Alabama, and he told me Davy Crockett was born there. And I went and made a great big long spiel, and he wasn't born there. He wasn't born anywhere close to there. And those people laughed at me. Oh, my. But that's where that's from. That
okay.
I'm going to kill him.
I'm sure you have stories like that that happen all over the place.
Oh, my.
And
Lord.
Especially since you're the one telling the jokes, people like to get you back. And so,
oh, yeah. Yes, sirree.
Yeah.
The worst one, Ray, I was out playing golf in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I never will forget it. And I came in to the golf course, and I was hot and sweaty from the golf course. And we always would get a couple of rooms to clean up in, and they'll always put the room number on a chalkboard up in front of the bus.
Right.
So I came in, loaded my clubs underneath, and Ray was down. I said, "What room is it, Ray?" He said, 106 there, buddy. And I went to there, and there was modeling pantyhose in there. And I said, "Oh," and I had my coat suit bag here and Hope carrying a suitcase. And that lady liked to beat me to death before I could get out of there. And I apologized and apologized. That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to have friendships like that, I guess. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I turned it around on them some. So.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
As they say in the mountains, fair is fair.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you're just joining me, my guest today is Jim Hamill on today's edition of Daniel Britt and Friends. And we're featuring a conversation that I had with Jim. But we're also featuring a compilation of some well-known stories that Jim has told throughout the years of his 50-plus years singing Southern gospel. And Jim has a story here of when Southern gospel took to the White House lawn in Washington, D.C.
President Jimmy Carter had an all-day singing and dinner on the ground up there, had fried chicken, had all his constituents, and had the Blackwood brothers, and had the Goodman family, and George Beverly Shea, and the Kingsmen, and the Mighty Clouds of Joy, and just a great day of singing. And he came by and shook everybody's hand, and that was a real thrill to meet the President of the United States. You know, I got to do some stuff, singing that I would have never got to do otherwise, like going to Hawaii twice on the Singing at Sea. Maurice Templeton was kind enough to put those together for us, and all of that. I'll tell you one thing that happened on the cruise. We had about 35 people. It was our first one, and had the Hensons, the Hoppers, and the Kingsmen, and we were going to Nassau. It's not like it is now where they charter the whole boat and just go sing and testify and have a good time all day, every day, 24/7, as hard as you can go. But then we had one little corner of the dining room where we could sing with the PA set not too loud. And we sung and sung, so discouraged, all of us. And I was so discouraged that one of the nights there, and I started out, and the maitre d', and that you folks that's kind of like me, don't know what, he's a big tall guy in a suit that takes care of the dining room. He came up to me, and if you'd have gone to a casting director for a movie, you couldn't have found one that looked any more right for the part than this guy from Panama. Spoke very little English. I mean, just very broken. And I was so discouraged with the singing, I almost just didn't even stop, just went on right to my cabin. And he put his hand out, and he shook my hand and said, "My English, she's not too good." But I could not understand the words, but it made tears come in my eyes. So that meant, you know, that we were getting through to somebody, and that was worth it all. I don't care if anybody, any of the rest of those people listen. We were getting through to one person. And that's stuff that I could have never done. Was going to cruises, Nassau, all over the country and all over, almost all over the world, just singing for Jesus and traveling for him. You've heard me name the heroes. You've heard me name the stars. You've heard me name the shakers and the people that make the industry roll. And Maurice Templeton and George Yonts and Bill Gaither and James Blackwood and Hovey Lister and Eldridge Fox and Ray Reese, and I could just go on and on and on and on and on. But I tell you what, I met my true hero 43 years ago at the Cathedral of Tomorrow in Akron, Ohio. That's where I met my wife. Asked her to marry me. Took two preachers to get it done, Rex Humbert and my dad. But it must have worked because it's over 40 years. And I want you to know she has been right there. Even wasn't making enough money hardly to survive, she stood right there beside me. She worked and she helped and she prayed. And 43 years later, we're surviving, still living together and still doing good. And that's pretty good. But one thing you need to realize and one thing you need to remember, somebody has to take care of the house. Somebody has to be the gardener. Somebody has to be the cook. Somebody has to do the laundry. Somebody has to do all this while the old man's off of singing and traveling. And I tell you one thing, she did that for all these years. Have two children, Jennifer and James. Jennifer's, well, I'm not going to say how old she is because she'd get offended, and James is 30. But I tell you what, they have grown up in this industry and in this business. I can remember James when he was 5 years old standing in the driveway of that little house in North Carolina, standing there crying, saying, "Daddy, please don't go this time. Please stay home." And I tried to explain to him that Daddy had a job to do, Daddy had to travel, Daddy had to sing, and Daddy had to be gone. I don't know whether he understood it or not, but I hope when he hears this that he'll understand that I really do love him, and I love Jennifer, and I couldn't have made it without James.
When the angry winds are blowing and the storm is all around, oh, how sweet it is in knowing that a refuge I have found.
I stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within,
within
his shelter I will be. The
winds may blow,
and the angry storm all around me rages upon this rock.
The rock of ages, I shall firmly stand.
This rock is Christ, my Savior, my soul he will defend. Trusting daily in his favor, on his promise I depend.
I stand upon
the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within,
we say,
shelter I will be.
The winds may blow,
and the angry storm all around me rages upon this rock.
On the
solid rock of ages I shall stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within,
his
shelter I will be.
The
winds may blow, and the angry storm all around me rages upon this rock.
On the
solid rock of ages I shall stand.
You think you'll ever leave North Carolina?
No. In a box.
Yeah.
When he slammed the lid and send me on my way. Yeah, that's when I leave.
Yeah. How do you want Jim Hamill to be remembered?
Somebody that is honest, and somebody that lives for Jesus, and somebody that has tried to portray and live the message in the songs that we sing, and that'll do for me. They don't have to say Hall of Fame or nothing else.
Yeah.
Just that he lived for Jesus and sung what he lived and lived what he sung.
Well, we do appreciate this time. And
thank you.
And we'll be sure to always remember the legacy you have given to us and the Kingsmen, and we'll remember Foxy and the whole story. It's a great one.
Well, I appreciate it. God bless you. I would not change a song. I would not change personnel of any group. I would not change anything. And I've just had a great run and a great enjoyment. Now, what I would do, I told Mark Trammell and I were talking, and I told Mark, I said, Mark, if there's anything that I would like to do, I would like to be able to take back. I would like to be able to recall some of the harsh words and some of the things I said to hurt people's feelings. 90% of that was done in fun. 90% of it was done in jest. But there's 10%, that other 10% I'm accountable for. And I would love to tell you that I'm very sorry. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. I ask that you would remember me in your prayers as we go down life's road together.
Classic Jim Hamill on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I'm redeemed and walking with Christ my Lord, happy as I travel along. And my burden's lighter as I press on to the land of joy and song. I've denounced old Satan and all his charms, giving up my pleasures on earth. I will tell the story all the way to glory of the Savior and my new birth.
I will go,
I'll go,
dear Lord,
where the
rivers are
filled
in multitude.
I'll sing
and pray.
See my Lord when he comes from glory that day. For I'm always ready and not afraid. With my Lord I'll soar away. I will count my blessings as I go on, and a crown of glory I'll wear. Free from all my troubles I shall live forever, all the heavenly joys to share.
When the doctor shakes his head and walks up.
dark valley.
I know I'll need
no, I need not
have a fear.
Have a fear.
Well, he promised he might play before me. Then he'll lead me to my mansion over there. Then the storm,
this I know,
I'll leave behind
this
me.
This I know.
I'll mount my chariot.
Over chilly Jordan,
this I know.
That Jordan River,
this I know.
So deep and wide,
this I know.
He'll help me cross
this
to the other side.
This I know.
That's why I know,
this I know.
That he is with
this
me,
I know.
Close by,
this I know.
My side he'll stand. When I'm face to face with death, that chilly
that's the Kingsmen Quartet. We've been hearing songs from the Kingsmen and from Jim Hamill in particular on today's edition of Daniel Britt and Friends. Jim was my guest, and if you want to hear today's interview again, make sure that you check out the website and watch for the interview to become available there at danielbritt.com. That's danielbritt.com. A couple of notes there. If you want to contact Jim, make sure you check the schedule page, and there's a link where you can email Jim directly. You can also keep track of archived interviews there and sign up for an email newsletter to keep you abreast of what's coming soon on the program. We'll see you again next time. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends here on XM Satellite Radio, Channel 34.